All right, next podcast. This is talking about dealing with it's waiting on God, but it's also, it means to avoid pitfalls, and how you avoid pitfalls and how to be consistent with Jesus. Number one, there are five reasons. There are five ways how you do it. Number one, I'm going to let you know right now, the worst thing you could do is start up depending on podcasts. I'm going to tell you why you don't want to depend on podcasts. You don't want to depend on podcasts such as this because podcasts are only good when you're driving. But as soon as you park that car, or as soon as wherever you are, I'm going to give you a rule of thumb that God gave me to share with others. Keep God's word within the arm's reach of you. If you're in your house, there should be a Bible somewhere in your house. Maybe in your drawer, maybe in your room. If you even if you are using the bathroom, I know it sounds weird, on the toilet, you need to keep God's word close by you. When you're sitting down and doing something where you're slowing down a little bit, the cares of this world can start to boggle on your mind a little bit. So you always need to have God's words wherever you are presently. If you are in the living room, you need a Bible in your living room, on your table, where you can shut the TV off, bam, take it down, get into the word. And First Joshua chapter 8, First Joshua chapter 8, verses 7 through 9, he told Joshua what to do. He said, keep this book, the book of the law, in your hands. Do not let it leave your hands. Meditate on this word day and night so that you may be carefully to do what's written in it. Any places in your house where you spend a lot of time, whatever it is, watching TV, whatnot, or whatever it is that you're doing, you need to have the Bible there. And you need to have more than one Bible, too. You need to have three or four. You need to have one in the kitchen. It could be one in the living room, at your desk. You need to get in the habit of grabbing the Bible. Not so much of listening to a podcast. That's number one. Number two, you need to be fellowshipping with other people about Jesus Christ. You need to be with people who are in God's word and who are holding Bible study. And they prepare their lessons to go out and speak to those in the community. Number two sequence, it does say in God's word, Paul stated that he went back to his company. He went back to his company after being out, you know, in the, let's say, workplace, shopping, the market or so have you, talking to folks about Jesus, right? Everywhere you go, you're supposed to share your faith. It ain't that you're trying to force it on them. It ain't that you're trying to. It keeps you from being tempted. It keeps you from the enemy coming at you. In your phone, you should have a contact list of brothers and sisters that you meet up with regularly that you could talk to about Jesus. You can meet with them regularly or one-on-one. Case in point, me. I got this guy named Ben. We decided that we would meet up in the morning time at some place at a nice restaurant to really dig down deep in God's word so I can disciple him. He wants me to disciple him into Jesus Christ and the man of Jesus Christ. This guy named Ben is a guy that was looking for me some time ago to get up with me because we had such a tight connection. And he asked my sister where I was, and sure enough, last week I pop up in church. And this guy grabs and hugs me, and is like, he just can't wait to get into God's word. He told me that when he was studying the Bible with me and we're talking to folks about Jesus and stuff, he felt basic with the word of God. Number three, in your phone and your contact list, you need to have a situation or something come up. You can't call your mom and your daddy all the time. You're going to have to be able to call somebody that you can talk to about whatever you're dealing with. And that person should be able to confide with you through God's word in scripture. He should say, hey, where you at right now? Let's pause. Let's sit down. Can you meet up and talk? Can you get a lunch break? And we go through God's word and what God says to do. Not only are you listening to them and what they're dealing with, if they call you, but you got to make yourself available to speak with them. That's what disciple is. You got to make yourself available. That means you got to give yourself not unto them, but unto Jesus Christ and his word. Number four, you need to pray and meditate. I go someplace like the Monastery of the Holy Spirit or Conyers, Georgia. I don't take my cell phone. I leave my cell phone in the car. I leave my laptop, everything, all distractions. And take my Bible and my journal entries. At the end of each day that you have a bad day or something, whatever, you need to keep some kind of pocket journal with you. Whether in your car, at home, at your desk, or you can email it to yourself about everything you struggled with. Some people use a heart check or a HALT check. HALT stands for hungry, exhausted, angry, resentment, and tired. And you'll start to see as you're doing your journal entries what you're struggling with, what you're having trouble with. God says in his word, in Lamentations, let us examine our ways and test our ways and return to the Lord. What that means is while you're journal writing or at home at the end of a long day or during the day and whatnot, after about 90 days... I picked this up from a probationary period with a job. Some jobs do a year or 90 days. Let's say 90 days. Let's say every 30 days. Every 30 days, you take your journal and you take it and you sit somewhere that is peaceful with no distractions, where you're able to spend time with God. I mean, literally, turn your phone off. Take the battery out if you have to. Take your laptop, turn everything off. You want to be, when you with God, that's actually really fasting, where you're fasting away from something that can pull you away from God, that you've given up something to help somebody else. In this case, you helping yourself so that you can bring your whole body and your whole mind with God. So you find a place, a park, or for me, I thought about going down to Eufaula for a week. Spend time with God down there with a group of guys that we disciple with each other and have fun and get into the word of God. I had thought about not going on no extravagant trip. Go someplace where there's solitude, where there are no lights, no movie theaters, no nothing, but just peacefulness. Get a cabin or something, and you guys are sitting out at the cabin talking to folks about Jesus. They in North Georgia. You got Callaway, Pine Mountain, Stone Mountain. You got places down in Florida, anywhere. Just like a retreat. You will come back a whole lot wholesome than you did before. Number five, pray. Pray, 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 pray for yourself. Pray for others. When you pray, you need to have a room in your house with no distractions. And what I do is I put a pillow on my floor where I kneel down and pray, and I close the door. And I write things on the wall, like I pray for my stepfather and my mother, or things that they may say or do, right? That may be, or brothers and sisters and things like that, that's contrary to God's word, or they sounds worldly. And I pray for them that God say, take cursing from my father's mouth, or the way he speak. Ephesians 4:29, help me to love him and to serve him wholly in God's eyes and not in my way. Or for my sister, that we have a better relationship in Jesus, that we are able to pray for each other and uplift one another. And then when somebody come across our way, we can be peaceful and fruit-bearing toward them. Or if it's something like my mother, help me to get her to not worry or be anxious so much. Give me a word of wisdom and encouragement to speak to my mother. And I keep praying that, keep praying that, keep praying that, keep praying that, keep praying that. Meeting up with brothers and sisters. Bible study, church, anything that you're dealing with at the church. The reason they say do not come, leave as you are, is whatever baggage is on you from the world, you need to confess that at the altar. If you got a problem with your brother, which we have all had, you need to get up from the altar. You need to go make it right with your brother. What God is saying is before you come to the altar and your requests, you need to make it right with the people that you harmed, the people you haven't forgiven, or you got some grudges. You need to go talk to them. You need to handle this as soon as possible. what is going to happen is it's going to remain as a guilt or burden on you. Like me, I broke up with my girlfriend. The reason that it hurt is because she was not for me. She's not living it out. She's not in relationship with Jesus, and she's not going to support me. She's going to be against everything I want to do or say for Jesus. And she's not going to be there for me. She's going to be against me. But God said in his word, if you're not with me, you are against me. And number five, let's wrap this up. You got to have love for the Father than anything else. Let's talk about finances, since people like to put so much emphasis on that. After you do your tithes and offering, your offering is helping those out in the street. I'm going to tell you a true story. I'm driving in Phoenix City. I see this man walking with a suitcase. Now, I'm a little scared. God said, go pick up that man. I pick him up. I put his luggage in the vehicle. I asked him, had he eaten, had he drinking? And, you know, immediately I was slow to speak. And I was quick to listen. I let this man tell me what he was going through. I didn't throw no Bible verses at him, but he could tell that I was a godly man. Then, as the moment came, whatever comment that he made, I was gentle with him. He had been drinking, but I didn't tell him that. You know, and I asked him where he was from, asked back. Then I asked him, how's his relationship with Jesus? It's okay. How do you know it's okay? And then he just told me the truth, that he had lost relationship with Jesus. Then I said to him, what do you think Jesus would tell you if he was sitting in the car with you? And I'm going to tell you, this guy had an odor on him. I didn't care. My fear went out the window when I did what God told me to do. I said to him, God loves you. And that man kind of cried a little bit. Got him something to eat at Crystal's and some coffee. And it let me see how selfish I used to be. A $65,000 or a $30,000 career with corrections, $5 is going to hurt me from that. And it showed me where I had been spending my time. It showed me what I was not doing. And that was the greatest feeling in the world. I cried like a baby. When I dropped him off at the Rose Hill Church, it was another guy that had pizza in my car. I thought how greedy I was. I was like, man, I was going to eat all this box of pizza by myself. I gave the guy the pizza. I didn't know that guy had a hip surgery, but something came over me where I told God, give me the words to say. People were driving by, and I still prayed for them. I wasn't looking for praise for them. Like, look what I did for this man. I just prayed for him, and I asked God to heal him. I didn't know that he had a hip surgery. I asked God to give me the words to say, the Holy Spirit. When I left that night, it was at 12 midnight. Now, you're asking yourself, what was I doing? One of the five things I'm telling you, I got away from technology and things for a while, and even some people. And I immersed myself in God's word. And God spoke to me. And I got in the car and I drove and I started talking to God. And I came across that guy over that bridge. There was another guy, he was walking one day. And then my passion came out to just pick him up. Now some people say, oh, you could be getting in the way. No. You're doing what God told you to do. And a lot of people wouldn't do that. Now that's what discipleship is. It's not in a pulpit where you're preaching and lecturing people all day. It's you get from the pulpit and you get out here in this world we're living in, on what they call planet Earth, and you are demonstrating to them what love is. One time I was out with Dave and something happened where he said, you're going to give a guy $10 and he's a complete stranger, you don't know him? Yes. He asked for something to eat. Now, just think about this for a statement. This guy's a stranger. You asked him for something to eat. Let's see if everybody's behind a camcorder or a TV, and the show your daughter was on the bridge in Phoenix City walking, and people just drive by, didn't pick them up. Let's say if it was somebody they need something to eat, and it was your son, and he asked for some food to get something to eat. Nobody gave it to him. How would you feel then? See how our minds are conditioned to the ways of the world? That's what God's talking about. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, renew your mind. But I'm going to tell you right now, those are five things to renew your mind. But how do you cut out those habits? You have a habit just ain't going to go away. Say if you was addicted to pornography, alcohol, drinking. The first thing I tell a person is, instead of saying, I'm going to avoid this place, I'm going to avoid it and I'm going to get in the Word of God. What does God say about drinking? Take your Bible and speak to that evil energy in your house that you may feel. Write some scriptures on the top of your house. Anoint your oil and speak. Tell the devil to get out your house. Tell the spirits to get out your house. Take God's word and read it, because it's true. They will leave your house. Tell God to get them out of your house. Because I'm going to tell you why people struggle with it. It's in their house. They bring it to work. You got some people that are always out here and never came to work. It's inside of them. The way they speak, the way they act, the way they interact. The moment that you turn your back against God and what God tell you to do and being obedient through the word, things that you used to struggle with will pop right back up in your face. Things that people used to say that used to roll off your shoulder when you was immersing God's word will start to bother you. That lets you know right there, you know what I'm saying? I've been persecuted because of my faith. God helped those who helped themselves. That's a lie. God helped those who are obedient to him. 1 John 4:7 says, what? If you love me, you will obey me and keep my commandments. So those who say, I love God, and they live contrary to God's commandments, they're a liar. So if they're a liar, they're a murderer. They're a murderer. That means they'll do anything they can while they're on the earth just to see what they can get out of it. And this is how you know people don't want a relationship with Jesus. You got people trying to get away with it. Proverbs 28:13 says, if you try to hide your sins, you will not succeed. Which means God says, not everybody who says, Lord, 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 will enter the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 24. I don't know what verse that is. Will not enter the kingdom of heaven. That's what he's talking about. That's a cross reference. Number two, some people just don't care. I don't care, you know, I'm going to hell anyway, I'm going to die anyway. You know, you don't get but one life, got to live it. Yeah, I'm going to tell you right now, you need to stay away from that brother or sister right there. And number one, the first one is, some people just don't know. Some people were brought up inside of a culture or a world where they don't know about God. Never heard of God. I told people I had never heard of Jesus. They said, surely if you've heard about Jesus. I said, no, I did not. I've heard of God. I heard people say Jesus, but I didn't know Jesus. I didn't know God either. And people may take this the wrong way, but people in your household or whoever's raising you and whatever like that may not be living it themselves. Let me tell you what I did to get rid of the way I was thinking. I changed all movies I watched. If it had rated R, PG, violence, sexual scenes, cussing, all that, drug dealing, all the things that was totally against God's word, I don't watch it. Music. If it don't have music, if it's music that has cussing in it, glorifying this and talking about chains and all that, I don't listen to it. People. If they're not willing to obey God and turn away. I had a girl named Kendra at Christ Community Church tell me about this young man who told her as an excuse he was a homosexual. She said she told him the truth. I don't know what more I can give you, I can offer you. I don't know what else to do for you. Which meant he didn't want to. Now, I understand people got hurts, habits, and hangups. I do. But it does come to a point in your life that you got to forgive this person and move on or change your thinking, or it's going to destroy you. And it'll destroy others that you're around too. They don't want to be in the company of you. And it's going to destroy you or destroy them. And eventually you're going to destroy yourself. So, all I ask for right now is, Lord, that whoever hears this, that they hear it and they apply to you. Bring them around good, positive people to be strengthened in their word, and that they shall be saved. Not to say that we put on a t-shirt that we're alive for Christ or we're radicals in Christ. I ask, Lord, right now that whoever hears this podcast who is not afraid. Anger and anxiety comes from being afraid. And the enemy feeds off of fear. and he delights in those who are fearful of him and not Jesus Christ. I ask in this fallen world, Father God, that you will not just move in ways that we can't understand. Move in ways that we can understand so that we can return unto you. Those who are listening to this, that we return unto you daily. That we pray daily and be obedient daily and consistently 24 hours around the clock, telling and sharing our faith and being obedient in your word. For it says in your word, it is permissible to cut parts of the body and throw that in hell, and whether the whole body go in hell. If it causes my eye to sin, pluck it out. Put something else in front of that, which is your word. If my hand will cause me to sin, chop that off also, maim that. Get that hand to go into God's word and to live it out for fully and abundantly. If I'm in a community or a certain thing or certain people's situation again, I ask Father God that you would bring forth them not wolves but sheep and sheep clothing that will inspire them and empower them to live out your word, not for financial gain, but because you told us to. Because not because we were concerned about where we live in and what car we drive, but because you told us to, that we would genuinely and lovely be obedient to your word and love you no matter what, through rich or poor, single or married or not, to be obedient in your word and love you wholeheartedly. Seek our faith, your face, humble thyself, turn from our wicked ways, and continue pray until the end of time, until your son comes back. In Jesus' name, in the Lord's name I pray. Amen.